7. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5 are going to be our main verses for this little study we're doing this morning. It's kind of a weird little thing, but something I think about from time to time in my own life. So we're talking about judging this morning, and you know, something I got to watch in my own life, and we all have to, you know. So there's some things that I want to clear up. There could be some misunderstandings out there, so we want to go by what the scripture says. We want to go by what the word of God says, and not necessarily what grandma said. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. Can I get a witness? So we want to briefly talk about this, and hopefully we can leave here with a little more knowledge and a little bit of excitement about what God is revealing to us. So Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Judge not that you be not judged. You ever heard that? You ever heard somebody tell that to you? Yeah. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? Verse 5. You hypocrite. That's pretty harsh. I mean, that's pretty stout language coming from the Most High God here. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, this has got to be, and there's a lot of verses like this that the world takes out of context and that Christians take out of context. But this has got to be one of those that are real high on the list. I mean, I've heard it many, many times. And think about the times when you've tried to do the right thing. Anytime you're talking to an unbeliever and certain topics come up, they know this verse, or they know somewhat about this verse, and I've had it thrown back in my face on more than one occasion. Especially if you're talking about one of the hot button topics of the day, like, you know, same-sex marriage or abortion or something like that. Well, hold on now, don't judge. Don't, you know? Okay, well, I get that, I understand that, but they're taking it out of context. And us as Christians, we can do the same thing. When we're dealing with our brother and sister, when we're dealing with the world, we'll say, well, I can't judge this situation. Well, what we're doing is we're not really understanding what God is trying to tell us. So we need to take the scriptures and break it apart and see what God is showing us. Can I get a witness? Okay, so let's go ahead and let's jump to the second slide here. And I'm going to partake of some of this delicious beverage. I want you guys to look, well, okay, bear with me 1 second. Paul Jr., go back to the first slide, if you don't mind, and I'm sorry. Okay, now look at verse 5, everybody on your monitor. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. So we're going to start with the last verse. Now, everybody listen here. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So God is not saying we don't help our brother out. He's not saying that at all, but he's saying, check yourself first, all right? Step number one, before we go around judging someone, and just bear with me, I hope and pray that this is gonna make sense. We're gonna leave here excited. But anyways, here we go. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. First take the log out of your own eye, Brother Rex, and I'm not calling on Brother Rex. I'm just saying that God is inviting us to look at ourselves, analyze ourselves first, okay? So what does that look like? Let's go to the next slide, Paul Jr. We got to analyze ourselves. We got to let the Lord search our hearts, but also we need to search our own hearts, okay? What kind of wickedness, what kind of foulness, if that's a word, is in our lives? Amen? Does that make sense this morning? Look at Lamentations 3 and verse 40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Okay, that's something that the good Lord is inviting us all to do. When we look at verse 5, he says, you hypocrite, take that log out of your eye first. Okay, so before we go around judging and condemning somebody, okay, we got to examine ourselves. We got to search our own hearts. And if you're like me, and I imagine this is true for everybody, it doesn't take long. If you really sit back and look at yourself, it doesn't take long to figure out, man, I got some pretty big flaws in my life. There's a lot of things in my life that are not pleasing to the Lord, okay? And this is just what Christians do anyways. Amen. This is what Christian folk do. We are to analyze our lives all the time, all the time. What is not pleasing to my Lord in my life? An easy way to do it, and kind of a scary way to do it, is imagine this, seriously, because this will be convicting probably to every single person in here. But imagine, if God knew what I was thinking, would it be cool for me to be thinking this? If God was here and I'm watching this picture show, would this be cool? Would I feel comfortable watching this sitting right next to Jesus Christ? Well, see, you see what I'm saying? Do it that way, okay? Would it be, should I think about this person like that? Should I act like this? Okay, boom, major convicting if we're being honest with ourselves. And yes, God does know exactly what we're thinking. He knows exactly what we're doing. Okay, nothing's hid from him, but sometimes we forget that, you know. But if we go through that funnel or that grid system of would God approve of this, you know, that'll help us as we search ourselves and say, what do I need to work on in my life? And we all got stuff that we need to work on. Can I get a witness? Look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Same thing. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Now, that's very important, and we're going to touch more on that as we go through our little study today. But Jesus Christ is in us. Okay, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, okay, and the Holy Spirit is not going to leave us, okay? We're sealed by him. So as we go along in our life doing things that aren't pleasing to God, thinking about things that aren't pleasing to God, saying things that aren't pleasing to God, we're dragging along the Holy Spirit and making him take part in things that repulses him. Think about that for a second. Does that make sense? We are the Holy Spirit, okay, we are sealed with him. Okay, and if you were serious when you made that statement of faith and yes, Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and be your Lord and Savior, okay, that Holy Spirit dwells within you. Okay, matter of fact, remember when you became a Christian and all of a sudden you begin to feel convicted about things you're about to do, you know, but if you keep doing them, that voice gets softer and softer. But then, you know, after you do it, that voice is saying like, hey, you need to repent of that. You need to do it about face. I still go through that. We all should be going through that where the Holy Spirit says, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. Man, you shouldn't have done that. Okay, I still love you. Repent. Okay, but anyways, Jesus Christ says, search out your own self. Okay, step number one, okay? Look at my own life. What's going on in me? And okay, so anyways, I hope this is all going to make sense. Let's look at Psalm 139. In verse 23. Now, this is pretty cool right here. This is pretty cool. Because not only do I search myself, but sometimes we can be pretty, a lot of times, we can be pretty easy going on us. Does that make sense? I mean, that's kind of a lot of what we're focusing on here in our little study this morning, is we can give ourselves a hall pass a lot of the time that we're not going to give our neighbor, that we're not going to give our family, that we're not going to give other people, and we can rationalize things very easily. Well, I did this because of this. I said this because of this. Okay, so God says, let me help you out with this. Let me help you out. Okay, he's fair and he's just, and he says, you are my kids, so let's do this together. Let me search with you, okay? And it's not going to take long at all, and a lot of stuff's going to rise to the surface. And all you got to do is get into the Word of God, because remember, the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's going to reveal things to you. Sometimes we'll get that good pat on the back. Sometimes God will say, like, see this right here? I love you, but you don't need to be doing this. And man, it's super, super convicting, and that's why Christians, we need to have a life that is really devoted to reading Scripture. I'm not saying all day, every day, but we need to spend time in the Word of God. Preacher Paul, you say that every single week probably. I probably do. But that's what we do. That's what Christians do. We read the Word of God. We meditate on the Word of God, and we obey the Word of God, and we're blessed for doing it. Even if we don't want to do what the Word of God says, we do what it says, we're going to be blessed for doing it. We're going to keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. And so sometimes when we say meditation in Christian circles, people get kind of weirded out, you know, because of Eastern religion and Buddhism and stuff like that, which is Eastern religion. But Christian meditation is not emptying yourself. It's not clearing everything out and being one with the universe or whatever they're trying to do. Man, I don't understand. I don't get it. I'm not going to try and say I do understand it. Okay, but Christian meditation is something completely different. Okay, so when I read the Word of God, God invites me to meditate on the Word of God. And what that is clearing everything else out and just focusing on what you're reading. Focusing on the Word of God. Focus on, it's like chewing, you go get your favorite meal. Your beloved takes you down to Taco Bell and she's like, the world is yours. Pick out whatever you want, baby. It's a special day. I noticed you like them gorditos. All guys, people said gorditos. No, but you know, you're like, you're eating a delicious steak or something, man. And you know, you savor it, you chew on it, right? Anybody get hungry? Well, see, that's like the Word of God, man. We're supposed to kind of chew on it, meditate on it. Not just read it, but read it, meditate, obey it. Moving forward, God wants to help us as we search our hearts. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God. You ever prayed that? That's a dangerous prayer. Search me, O God. And I'm not saying he is just limited to speaking to you through Scripture, okay? I'm not saying that at all. Okay, you can get that still small voice. He can talk to you. I mean, he does talk to you. Sometimes we won't slow down long enough to listen. Sometimes we'll dismiss it, you know. But listen, God wants to communicate and have a relationship with his people. He wants to spend time with us. And if you say, search my heart, he'll take you up on that. Remember, if I pray anything according to his will, it's going to happen. And believe me, he wants us to let him search our heart. Can I get a witness? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Because, you know, our hearts are very deceptive and we can trick ourselves. And we give ourselves hall passes all the time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Verse 24, and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Search my heart, Lord. Show me what's not pleasing to you and then lead me in that right path. So step number one, we're talking about thou shalt not judge, or we're talking about judging. Step number one, you got to get the big old 2x4, the big old plank out of your own eye. You got to look at yourself first. Can I get a witness? All right, God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Let's go to the next slide, church people. If we don't let God search our hearts and we don't deal with it, if we don't search our hearts and deal with what rises to the top, let's be honest this morning, okay? And I'm talking to myself. You know, obviously I'm talking to myself. But, you know, are we in any position, if we're all messed up in a certain area, are we in any position to help somebody else out when they're dealing with that same issue? You know, obviously not, man. So God says, step number one, deal with what you got going on in your life, okay? Before you go around making all these calls, okay? Search your own heart. Amen. Matthew 7 and verse 2. So this is one of our main five verses this morning, okay? Matthew 7 verse 2. Now this will help us. If we can get this right here, this will help us making those superficial judgment calls, those condescending judgment calls. And I'm not talking to anybody specifically. We're just going through what God tells us real fast, okay? Matthew 7 and verse 2. Now listen here, guys. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. How about them apples, man? Think about that, okay? God is saying, judge not lest you be judged. And with the measure you use, that's going to come back on you. Okay, so keep that in mind as you go around doing this. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's very specific. All right. Now, Let's look at Galatians 6 and verse 7, because this kind of drives the nail in a little bit deeper, guys. Okay, first I got to look at my own heart. I got to let God do his thing, analyze my heart, and I want to repent. Okay, I want to be that person, that woman, that man that God has called me to be. Okay, so we're talking about Galatians 6 and verse 7. Now check this out. Do not be deceived, because like I said, it's very easy to give ourselves a free pass. You know, I know why I did that because, well, okay, well, what does the Word of God say? Because that's what we go by, okay? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Have you guys figured that out yet? That's a good lesson to learn. You know, we're not going to be the one person that's going to be able to get away with something that God says. You're not going to be able to get away with that, okay? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So we need to keep these things in mind as we go off and make these judgments. Can I get a witness? Last verse in our little study today, Matthew 7 and verse 5. Here we go again. So this is Jesus Christ talking to us. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So again, he's not saying do not help your brother. He's saying, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Look at yourself and do a search. Does that make sense? So with the understanding that God wants us to search our hearts, that God wants to show us what we need to work on, and that we're going to be judged the same way we judge others, he's not saying don't judge. He's saying don't be a hypocrite. Matthew 7:5, you hypocrite. He's saying, I don't want you to be a hypocrite. Well, see, the Greek word for hypocrite means actor. Okay, someone that's playing a part, playing a role, someone who's acting like someone that they're not. And we don't want to be that, okay? So we need to let the Lord search our hearts and deal with what's going on in us. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody cool? So, like I said, like we just read, God's not telling us we cannot help our brother or sister out, that we, okay, well, let me put it to you like this. Let me see. Maybe this will help me out a little bit. Say you're the boss man on the job, all right? Boss man on the job, and the guy you hired made all these promises, but he'll never show up, whatever. You got to make a judgment call on that, don't you? You got to say, we got to judge actions. That's what I'm trying to say. We got to judge actions, okay? And the Lord knows that we got to judge actions, okay? What he's saying is, don't you be a hypocrite, okay? Don't you be a hypocrite. Understand that you're not perfect, okay? But you have to judge actions, and you're not going to be able to judge motives, okay? You don't know what's really going on. But you have to judge actions. Just like the policeman that pulls somebody over and takes them to jail for whatever, if they broke the law, he's got to make a judgment call on that. God's not saying we don't judge actions. He's not saying that at all. Moving forward. Trying to explain that to you. Matthew 7:15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Okay, you will recognize them by their fruits. Like the guy that comes to work and he's not pulling his weight. Ah, man, I can't afford to keep you around anymore. You're not doing the thing, man. You know, you got to make a judgment call. God's not saying don't do that. Okay, let me continue. You will recognize them by their fruits. Okay, so we got to be fruit inspectors, right? Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? No, not last time I checked. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Okay, let's look at Matthew 7, verse 6. Now, Matthew 7, verse 6 is actually the next verse in our little five-verse study we're doing this morning. So it's right after you hypocrite, right after that little statement. Jesus says this, Matthew 7:6, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. So we just read a few verses here where Jesus Christ says, watch out for false prophets. Okay. Well, How are you going to know if they're false prophets or not if you don't make a judgment? How are you going to know if someone's a pig or a dog? And, you know, dogs, back in the old day, back in the Bible days, dogs weren't your pets, man. They were scavengers, unclean things that you didn't really want to mess around with. Same with pigs. Israelites didn't want to have nothing to do with pigs. We're not going to go deep into that. But how are you going to know if someone is a sheep in wolf's clothing? Well, you're going to look at their fruit, right? You're going to test their fruit. We have to judge actions is what I'm trying to say. So when someone says, judge not, lest ye be judged, God's not saying you can't judge them. He's saying, don't you dare be a hypocrite. Don't you dare be cruel about it, okay? Don't go overboard, because the same way you judge this person, okay, I'm watching. You know what, Abraham Lincoln, when the whole Southern state rebellion, however you want to look at that or whatever, I'm not going to get into all that, but yeah, okay, so South lost the war, and they should have lost the war. That was God's plan. That's just how that works out, okay? All right, but see, here's the deal. What did Abraham Lincoln say when it was discussed? Well, how do you plan on treating the Southern states? And he said, well, like it never happened. You know, try like it never happened, man. To be merciful. Okay, that's how God wants us to be when we're making these judgments. Not that we don't have to make judgments and do the right thing, but remember, okay, I could be in this situation reversed this time next week. Does that make sense? And I want God's mercy on my life. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Psalm 139 and verse 1. Remember, we talked a minute ago about allowing God to search our hearts. And God truly knows what's going on in our hearts. Okay, we can deceive ourselves all the time. That's why we put God into this equation, obviously. Psalm 139 and verse 1. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. He searches us and he knows us. See, we don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't always know people's motives, but we have to judge actions. It's not a prohibition on judging. God is just saying, judge rightly, judge correctly. Let's go to the next slide. Look at, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, talking about God sees the inward person. Okay, sometimes we walk around, we just feel so completely misunderstood sometimes. I'm sure we all feel like that sometimes. You know, but see, God really knows what's going on, okay? God knows what's going on. Look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 right here on your monitor. Now, to put this little background here, this is when the prophet Samuel goes to see Jesse, the father of David. And Jesse had a bunch of kids, a bunch of male kids. And Samuel says, one of your boys is going to be the next king of Israel here. One of them are. Okay. Now, Jesse had to make a little bit of a judgment call. And he says, well, you know, I got all these boys here. And one thing's for sure, I'm pretty sure about this. If one of my boys is going to be the next king of Israel, it ain't going to be that David. It ain't going to be him. I'm not going to have the neighbor watch my sheep. I'm not going to hire someone for a day and a half to watch the sheep. I'm not going to get anyone else to watch the sheep. I'm just going to put David. It's a pretty safe bet. I'll just put David out there. He won't even be noticed. He certainly ain't going to be the next king of Israel. That's the superficial outward judgment right off the bat. Let's see. So this is what the Lord says to the prophet Samuel as he's overlooking Jesse's children, because God is going to show him who the next king of Israel is going to be. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, now listen, because God has some amazing abilities that we don't have, but we can have them through the Holy Spirit. Anyways, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because Samuel looked at this one boy, and he's like, oh my gosh, man, this dude is tall, dark, and handsome. This guy kind of reminds me of old Saul right here. This has got to be the next king. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. Look at this part right here. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's what we do, okay? Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God looks at our hearts. Sometimes we go around feeling completely misunderstood, so on and so forth, but God really knows what's going on. God looks at the heart. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. So, we have to make these judgments from time to time. Excuse me, let me have some of this. First Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. So this is what God is inviting us to do. Remember, we read a verse and we talked about this, that the believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, right? And so what we need to do when we make these judgments, because God's not saying we don't judge actions. He's not saying that. We're going to have to judge actions. You know, somebody's bound up in some crazy sin or something with love. We need to address that. Okay. But we need to have discernment, right? We need to have discernment. And listen to me, guys. I just want you guys to listen to me for a few more minutes. I pray for discernment every single day. Well, pretty much every single day. I pray for discernment. I know there's people in this church that God really uses in discernment. I've had people in this church pull me aside and say, hey, I believe God showed me this, and I'll go investigate it. And they're like, wow, man, I had no idea. Wow. So God does want to give us discernment. We have not because we ask not. Okay, so we don't want to make the wrong judgment is what I'm trying to say. We don't want to do that, and we're going to have to make judgments. All right? So look at 1 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. The spiritual person, the Christian person, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Now that's saying the world isn't going to understand you. The world can't judge you. The world doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. The world doesn't understand. They're going to make judgment calls on you, but that doesn't matter. But see, we're talking about ourselves because we do have a job to do. The spiritual person or the Christian, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Look at verse 16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Okay. The Lord certainly does things that we don't understand. His ways are far above our ways. Okay. But see, we can have discernment. We can yield to the Holy Spirit. Okay. But we have the mind of Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. But Sister Dana, but Sister Claudia, but Sister Dina, but Sister Rachel, and all you men in here, we can have the mind of Christ when we make a decision, when we make a judgment. We want to yield to the Holy Spirit is what I'm trying to say. Okay, so Jesus is not giving us a prohibition on judging. He says, first of all, look at yourself. Look at yourself. And don't be cruel, okay? Don't be self-centered. And don't be a hypocrite, okay? Because the way you judge, it's going to come back on you. But we have to judge, so let's try and use the mind of Christ or yield to the Holy Spirit as we do these things. Amen? Let's go to the next slide. You know what? There ain't no next slide, church people. And I knew that. But I just, you know, there's something I wanted to address this morning, and it's just as much for me as it is for anyone else. We're going to go around. We got to make these decisions. So the Lord's not saying, don't do that. He's just saying, do it rightly. Do it rightly. Can I get a witness? Dear Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you that we're going to